once discussed fundamental machlokes Rashi and Ramban regarding Kabbalah Satorah, simply the sequence of the parshias, because there are two parshias in Sefer Shmos that devote themselves to the theme. One is Parshas Yisro, of course, that of Aseres Hadibros, and somewhat surprisingly, when you get to the end of Parshas Mishpatim, in Shmos and Perach Chav Dalid, all of a sudden the Torah seems to revisit. The Pasuk says, Ve'el Moshe Amar, Alei Al Hashem. And somewhat surprising that, after all, didn't we just experience all of the Aseres Hadibros in the totality of Ma'amid Har Sinai? So an obvious question is, why the repetition? Why is it that Ma'amid Har Sinai is divided into two parshas? And even furthermore, the question, of course, is the sequence. Rashi writes in Parshas Mishpatim that parsha uvidalid sivan nemrlo, El Moshe Amar Le'al Hashem, was days earlier. That was Dalit Sivan. In other words, Rashi, based on Mechilta, based on the Sugi and Shabbos and Daf Peches, assumes we should apply the principle of Ein Muktam Umuchar B'Torah, that the Torah is not following the chronological sequence. Yeah, the Torah tells us the Seres Hadibros, and then the Torah now explains what happened in the days preceding, right? What we find in Parshas Yisro. In the Ramban, of course, this is typically the sheet of the Ramban, a great reluctance to apply that principle of Ein Muktam Umuchar B'Torah. And the Ramban assumes that no, the sequence is literally Yisro, followed by Mishpatim. But even irrespective of that question, what is the appropriate sequence, that no doubt that the most basic question is, why is there two parshias? So what exactly are the two moving parts of Ma'amid Har Sinai? And perhaps the answer really is as follows, that if one were asked that how is it that one can very briefly, very succinctly, right, to sum up the essence of what a Sefer Torah is supposed to be, I think there are clearly two different answers. On the one hand, that no doubt, that the Sefer HaTorah is the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Mitzvah HaTorah. Almost as Rashi, right, in the very beginning of his Pirushal HaTorah, that you know that, why is it that the Torah Hashem does not begin with HaChodesh HaZalachem? Because that's the Mitzvah Rishon, Shenistar Bo Yisrael. So if you understand the Sefer Torah as being a Sefer HaMitzvahs, so begin, well, like the Sefer HaChinuch, with the first mitzvah. Begin like the Rambam, with the mitzvah Rishona, that why is it that all of a sudden more indeed is necessary? But undeniably, right, the Torah is considered to be, right, the do's and don'ts of the Sefer HaMitzvahs. And here I would tell you that role of the Torah Hashem, that is emphasized in Parshas Yisro. In fact, that's what we discussed in Parshas Yisro, the significance of the Aseres Hadibros, that the Aseres Hadibros corresponds to the Taryag Mitzvahs, Nemro Shem Yisinai. Many references that one finds in the Medrash, that if you count up all of the letters of the Aseres Hadibros from Anochi until Asher L'Riecha, you have Taryag Osios, because each letter of the Aseres Hadibros is supposed to represent one of the Mitzvah Sator. In various days in Medrash, that what about Asher L'Riecha, Asher L'Riecha? That's an extra seven letters. One day in Medrash, for example, is, well, that's the Shev Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. All the mitzvahs are related. Or maybe it's a reference to certain mitzvahs d'Rabbanan. But that theme is very powerful, very prevalent in the Medrash, that correspondence between Aseres Hadibros and Taryag Mitzvahs. Rashi even quotes from Sadia Gaon that this is true thematically, that the Aseres Hadibros really are ten themes. And you could divide all the Taryag Mitzvahs under 10 themes. We're used to divisions of Benon Lamakom, Benon Lachavero, Mitzvah Sase, Mitzvah Lo Sase. Rasad Yagon's division was the headings of Aseres Hadibros. These are categories of. And in that sense, that no doubt that Aseres Hadibros represent the totality of Kol HaTorah Kul in terms of the Mitzvahs HaTorah. I had mentioned then that beautiful comment to the Rashban, right? One of the most common questions in Dayenu, now that Kervon Lifnei Har Sinai, Lanasan Lanasa Torah, like really? Like that would have been enough. Just the Chavaya, like the experience of being there without anything more. That would have been enough for Ma'amid Har Sinai. So aside from what you were told in elementary school about the Achdus of Klal Yisrael and everything, beautiful. No, but Rashbam writes that, no, that when you look carefully, the Beskrav has a piece about this, right, in Parshas Yisrael, that how important was it that we heard, as opposed to Moshe Rabbeinu just simply conveying the Torah session. So the option was not that we wouldn't have received the Torah. That would not have been the aim, not to receive the Torah session. Of course we would have received the Torah session. The question really is emphasis. Nasan lanu es haTorah. Is that something that we would have heard directly? Or is that something that we would have been told, Al Yedei Moshe Rabbeinu? You know, sometimes Tosos writes two words like, ooh, speak volumes, no? A Tosos, Brachos, Chaf Mabez, the bottom Tosos. You know what Tosos writes? What was the interaction of Kadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu, Knesset Yisrael, and Mamre HaSinai? How were we Yotze? We were spectators. No, you know what Tosos writes? Unbelievable. Shomei Akon. That's like stunning, no? Everybody has to hear the Megillah, everybody has to be Kiddush, so what do you mean? There's one Baal Kori. Yeah, there's one Baal Kori, but Sukkot Daf Lamed Ches. Shomei Akone. No. The Tosas Hashita, no. There's Sukkot Daf Lamed Ches, Brachos Av Chaf Aleph, Atoras Dibur, it's a Hefsik, it's as if you said it. So Tosas applies Shomei Akone to Mamre Har Sinai. And what actually did we hear? Ooh, Rashbam writes, we heard the Aseres HaDibros. We heard the Aseres HaDibros. So you know what? It would have been enough. We didn't have to hear anything. Moshe would come down as being the Adon HaNavim and saying, this is it. This is the Torah Hashem. And technically that could have been enough, but we were Zochet. We were Zochet to hear. What were we Zochet to hear? Rashbam writes Aseres HaDibros. Ooh, so that's it. The Aseres HaDibros represents the totality of the Torah Hashem. So that justifies our saying, Nasan lanu es haTorah. The fact that we heard the Aseres HaDibros means that the Torah was given directly to us. We didn't hear every parsha. Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai, the Ram describes and transmitted, but we heard the Aseres HaDibros. So even though Kirvani from Har Sinai would have meant that we could have been there and we could have received everything Al Yedei Moshe Rabbeinu, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the schools that Nasan lanu es haTorah. And Nasan lanu es haTorah means Aseres HaDibros. So, a beautiful comment to the Rashbam, but again, just simply a further indicator that Aseres HaDibros represents the totality of the mitzvahs, HaTorah. So if I look in Parshas Yisrael, and this is Tariyag Mitzvos, so therefore it emphasizes the Sefer Torah as being a Sefer HaMitzvos. But there's much more to Mamad Har Sinai than simply mitzvos, the mitzvos. The Gemara in Krisus and Daftes derives from Mamad Har Sinai all the Dine Gerus. It's not just simply a time we became obligated in. But you know what? Mamad Har Sinai is a Knisa Libris. It's a bris. And therefore, just if I would term the Torah in Parshas Yisro as being a Sefer HaMitzvos, I will tell you the second dimension found in Parshas Mishpatim is the Torah Hashem as being a Sefer HaBris. Well, so if you'll ask me, like, where did you get that term from? You know, that it's a Sefer HaBris, you know? So you know what I'm going to tell you? Because that's what the Torah says in Parshas Mishpatim, right? In Perachov Dalet, Pasuk Zayin, Vayikach, Sefer HaBris. No? The Torah self-describes itself that way, no? In Parshas Mishpatim. Because Parshas Mishpatim is a Knisa LaBris, the Dine Gerus. So in order to emphasize that there are two elements to Mamad Har Sinai, a Chiyuv in Mitzvos and a Knisa LaBris, so the Torah divides Mamad Har Sinai into two Parshias in order to tell us, ooh, nah, brisk, nah? The two dinim of Kabbalah Satorah. And here I'll tell you, like, you know, when you look at the Machlokes between Rashi and the Ramban, something to think about, no? What would you say, like, is the ideal sequence? You know, one could argue in two ways, no? It is, what do you begin with? What do you begin with? Rashi's Ein Mukta Brucha B'Torah means you begin with a Knesset L'Bris. And as a consequence of entering into Bris, there's mitzvahs. And if you don't apply Ein Mukta Brucha B'Torah, unlike the Ramban, so the flip, and that means no, that you begin with that commitment of Taryag Mitzvahs, and then the consequence is the schus of a Knesset, of a Knesset L'Bris. You know, to take it a step further, if I challenge you and I say to you, are you willing to perform the mitzvah satorah? So what would the appropriate answer be? I think the answer is clear, no? Nothing. If I ask you, are you willing to enter into a bris? The answer is not nothing. The answer would be nasa v'nishma. The Targum translates, Na'avidu Nakava. Na'avidu Nakava. So I will tell you, that's magnificently why what you find in Parshas Yisro is just Nasa. In a Parshas Mishpatim, there you have Nasa V'Nishma. Because in terms of the Knesset L'Bris, that both are absolutely necessary. And here I'll go a step further and argue as follows. When you look at the Tosos and Shabbos Tapeches, Tosus is bothered by the following. On the one hand, Bnei Yisrael said Nasa Nishma. Nasa Nishma sounds like that, you know, that Ba'av Ovaratzim. On the other hand, Vayisyatsu, the Sakti Sahar, was Kafalein Harkigigis. So how do you resolve that difficulty? So there are other possibilities, different possibilities, that no? If you look at the Tosos Shavas Tapeches, Tosos writes the first thing, Nasa V'Nishma. That means we did so willingly, on our own volition. Once we agreed, ooh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu now, like, tighten the screws, because Shem Yuchozer. So therefore, Kaflein Harkekigis. You know, that's like Rashi, in the sense that first is Mishpatim, we agree, and then, Vayisyatsu, just to ensure the staying power. The Medrash Tanchum Parshas Noach writes, Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebichsav was Kaflein Harkigigis. The Torah Shebal Peh was Nasa V'Nishma. But maybe one could argue as follows, that these two elements emphasize the dual role. Right, to have the Sefer Mitzvos and the Sefer HaBris. When you speak about the Mitzvah Satar, there I would say that, yeah, that's Vayisyatsu. The Mitzvahs are not discretionary, right? There's a Shibud. One is obligated, one is bound to. A Knesa Labris is something that a person enters into voluntarily, on his own volition. And maybe those two elements are indicated by the two roles. If that's true, it's very meduyak, no? Because where is Vayisyatsu found? In Parshas Yisra. And Nasa V'Nishma is Parshas Mishpatim. No, the Sefer HaMitzvos is Kaflein Harkigigis. That's Avdus. Mashem came when it comes to. One could even argue a step further that even Nasa V'Nishma contains both of these elements. Even Nasa V'Nishma. Because for us, a thinking person would not say Nasa V'Nishma. Well, when a person is challenged, a person receives an offer, you know, so typically, you know, you consider and then you respond. The answer is yes, without Nishma. So who responds Nasa V'Nishma? See, I've often pointed out that if you look in the Svarna on Parshas Mishpatim, And you look at Rashi and Shabbos and Daf Peches, this is Peches and Mabez, very, very different answers. The Svarna writes, you know who says Naseh Nishma? An Eved. An Eved. That's an indicator of Avdus. Of Avdus. You know, an Eved does not have a right of refusal. An Eved is over this Rabba Ben Biyom Ben Balayla. The Ramban and Kedushin we discussed not so long ago, no? That an Eved is not a poel. An Eved is Gufo Kanui. Gufo Kanui. Right, the Ramban, also beautiful. Now there's a Kinyan Shalmama, there's a Kinyan Shalisa. Those are the phrases that the Ramban uses. So, and Adon requests and Adon demands. And you know what the response to the Eved is? Nasa v'nishma. Nasa v'nishma. That's Avdus. When you look in Rashi, Shabbos Pechesim obeys, Rashi writes something so stunning. There's another example of Nasa v'nishma. You know who says Nasa v'nishma? Rashi says, Kederech ha'osi me'av. Av, an ohe, says Nasa v'nishma. Wow, that's something striking, no? An ohe. You know, the answer is yes, no? You're about to get engaged, about to get married, your parents tell you, how exactly is everything going to work out? How are you going to do this and this and this and that? You know what the answer is going to be? The answer is going to be Nasa v'nishma, no? We're going to do it. We're going to make it work. We're going to invest. Whatever it takes, we're going to do. No? And maybe a parent will say, no, but I want to know all the details and all the plans and all that. You know, they'll say, no. Kederach ha'osi me'av. No? That's the response of an ohe. Right? To say, Nasa v'nishma. Well, that's Rashi writes. Nasa v'nishma. Yeah, you have to do responsibly. Everything worked out to the T. No, it's presumptuous to work out everything to the T. No, like, the more you work out, the more you see that the less you control. No, like, so Rashi writes that that's unbelievable. So they're opposites in Asa v'nishma. The two models of Asa v'nishma are an Eved and an Ohev. An Eved and an Ohev. I always find that very, very striking, very, very remarkable. And the punchline, of course, is as follows. There's no stira. There's no stira. Because when you're dealing with the bus of Adam, it's true that Avdus and Avo do not go hand in hand. But not true when you're describing our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Avinu Malkeinu. Our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no steer whatsoever of being an Eved and being an Ohev. No. Shabbos morning, Shachris, no, Yismach Moshe, Madas Felko, Ki Eved Neman, Karasalam. The simcha of being an Eved Neman. Now the greatest accolade, the greatest praise of Moshe, Rabbeinu, right? Lo Kein Avdi Moshe, V'cho Beisi Nemanu. To be an Eved Neman, that's the mission statement. Not to be an Eved Neman. But the Avdus is not Avdus Machmas Dochak. You're an Eved because your back is against the wall. Ki Yomach Achicha. It's Avdus, which is Machmas Avdu. Avdus, which is Machmas Avdu. And therefore, there's no steer whatsoever between Rashi and the Svarna. That simultaneously, Klapei Shmaya, the response of Naseh V'nishma is that convergence, that confluence, right, of Avdus and Avdu. I mentioned in the past, there's a beautiful Radak, now in Tilim, Kufte Zayin, Pasukte Zayin, where in that capital, what we recite in Hallel is Ana Hashem, Ana Hashem. The whole tumult now, like the Menchashai, the Kesar Atzova, right, how to pronounce Ana, right? Kesar Atzova writes, it's Milura. Right, it's Ana Hashem, not Ana Hashem, right? Ana Hashem. That's important now. Against the Nigunim, but nonetheless, it should be Milara, not that Ana Hashem. Bali Tfilo, all kinds of things now. But the Radak Sa'aris, how do you spell Anashim? Anashim. So Radak makes that unbelievable Ha'ara. That Hoshiyana Haslichana is Aleph Nun Aleph. And take a look. That Ana Hashem Kini Abdech is Aleph Nun Hey. So how do you spell Ana Hashem? Is the last letter an Aleph? Is the last letter a Hey? Spelled differently. Spelled differently. So Radak writes, it's just unbelievable Ha'ara. That they really mean very, very different things. That Aleph Nun Aleph of Hoshiyana Haslichana is please. It's Lashon Bakasha. And Aleph Nun Hey is Hoda. It's thank you. Yeah, a significant difference. So Hoshiyana Haslichana, that's good. No, that's a Bakasha. And what about Ana Hashem Kini Abdefa? That's what the Doc writes. That's Hoda. 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 Thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the schus of being there. That's pretty powerful, no? That's not true when it comes to Abbas of Adam. We discussed a lot about Zechiah, no? Right? The Mishnah Gittin, Dafir Aleph, no? So, for a woman to be married is a schus. But for a person to be an Eved is a chovah. And therefore, Zechiah can't work when it comes to a get. But Zechiah can work when it comes to Shashichur. Even though there are so many similarities, commonality between a get and a shtar shichur, but that's the fundamental difference the Mishnah tells us, that a get is considered to be a chalva, and a shtar shichur is considered to be a schus. And therefore we can use the principle, zach lanu shlo b'fana, zachi, when it comes to a shtar shichur. That's true when it comes to a bas of Adam, not true when it comes to Kadosh Baruch Hu. When it comes to Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's ana Hashem keni avdecha, the simcha being an Eved Hashem. And therefore, the avdus is ne'av miratzam. So there's no steer whatsoever to argue that the two models converge, right? Of nasa v'nishma. When it comes to our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be an eved ne'am, but kederech ha'osim, me'ava. And therefore, I would argue as well that the nasa v'nishma can imply both elements. Right? The avdus implies kafan harkigigis. That's one dimension of Odas Hashem. Yeah, you don't wake up every morning and like decide if you want to go to Minyan or not. No, like you must. No, you don't decide if you're going to love it. You must. No, yeah, there's bechira for people who make the wrong decisions in life. But, but the other element is, of course, that there's a certain midas ahava, that if a person is going to ask you, why is it that that every aspect of life seemingly, the answer is because that's kederach ha'osim me'ava, right? That, of course, that there's a structure to that element of avas Hashem. And that's the perfect convergence of the kaflin harkigigis and the knisa l'riz of avdus and ava, both that occur simultaneously. It's an important chiddush. When you look in the Gemara Yevamos, in that Mem Vav, the Gemara writes something very, very unusual. Let's assume a person is not Jewish, and they want to undergo Gerus. But the Gerus is not to become a Ben Yisrael. The Gerus is to be an Eved Kanani. No? An Eved Kanani is not a poem. Well, Eved Kanani has a Tosefes Kedusha. No? A guy is Chayiv in Shemitz Zvenoach. An Eved Kanani is Chayiv Mitzvos Geisha. Right? So, to become an Eved Kanani requires Geirus. It requires Geirus. It requires Mila. It requires Tvila. So, this person now is Tovel. He had Mila. And now he's Tovel in order to become an Eved Kanani. So, how do you demonstrate that the tefila is l'shem avdus? The tefila is not for a full kedushas Yisrael, for absolute gerus. So the Gemara describes in Yevamos Naf Mem Vav that he immerses himself in the mikvah, and he emerges from the mikvah, and the adam stands on top of him, and he holds, unbelievable, as the Gemara Yevamos Naf Mem Vav, Zulta de Tina Areshin. Zulta de Tina means a clay vessel a kli, which is made out of clay, zulta datina, areshi on top of his head. And when the adon holds the kli on top of his head, well, that's the indicator that this is a tefillah v'avdus. It's not an absolute tefillah of gerus. So if you were to ask that, where does that image come from of zulta datina areshi, Sirah would tell you much, much more than a mashal. No? I'll tell you Pashup Shah. That's exactly Kaflein Harkigigis. Kaflein Harkigigis. The dimension of the Avdus. Of the Avdushim. No? That Kabbalah Satorah means that you're an Eved. You're an Eved Hashem. And you have to recognize that that's the commitment. That's the expectation. That's something that... is it something that a person only embraces, you know, b'di'evet, out of absolute duress? Of course not. That's an Hashem k'ni avdecha. That's k'derecha osim. K'derecha osim yava. I once mentioned to you that maybe that's part of the teretz, of the timing of ritzia. No? That we pierce the ear of the Eved. Why? Because ozen sheshama kli b'nei yisrael avodim avodahim. One of the reasons. If that's true, why are you piercing his ear now? Pierce his ear at the moment that he became an Eved. After all, if the reason is because Kli b'nei yisrael avodim avodahim, that means it's relevant to Mocher es Atzmo. So at the time that a person is Mocher es Atzmo, pierce his ear, right? A person is Mocher es Atzmo, nothing. All of a sudden, years later, he wants to remain an Eved, Ritzia. So why do you pierce the ear at that point? So according to this, it's beautiful. No, exactly that point. Why do you pierce the ear? Because Kili b'nei yisrael avadim, avadim, v'lo avadim l'avadim. You're encroaching on a relationship with Kadosh Baruch. So let me ask you, when exactly are you encroaching on the relationship with the Kadosh Baruch? When you look in Chumash, why is it that a person became an Eved? So the Torah tells you black and white, no? Ki yom l'chachicha. You know what ki yom l'chachicha means? The guy was absolutely desperate. The guy was desperate. Out of desperation, he became an Eved. Now, he was distraught, he was depressed, right? Out of despair. Okay, you know what? I would kind of take that guy to the side and I would say, that's not the right thing to do, but what does it have to do with our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu? That a person becomes an Eved out of desperation. Okay, you fast forward. The Avdus is up. A person decides to stay. And why is he staying? Here, Parshas Mishpatim, the Torah doesn't say he's staying because Kiyam Chachicha, right? Because the guy's confused, because he's desperate, because he's depressed. You know what the Pasuk says? Ahavti Yisadon. Ahavti Yisadon. He's staying as a result of Amidas Ahava. That's the only time the Torah links Avdus and Ahava. Avdus and Ahava, Torah Basar Adam. That's where, the Torah says, that's a violation of Kili b'nei yisrael avodim avodahim, v'lavodim lavodim. That's why Ritzia is at that point. It's at that point. The Avdus for the past years did not encroach in our relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu. But Avdus machmas avva, that already, right, is the indictment of that Eved, and that demands, right, the sense of Ritzia. So those are the two parshiyos that one finds of Kabbalah Sater. Yeah.
What's the reason that we allow this to happen if you don't think it's the right thing to do?
Right, that's a good question. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the Torah will accommodate even though something is less than an ideal. It's hard to argue that the plight of an Eved Ivri is an ideal. But nonetheless, right, it's a reality. Sometimes it's a reality that the person on his own cannot realize an Eved Ivri, you know, the Gemara tells us that if you're kon Eved Ivri, kon Adol Natsmo, you have to treat him royally. No? There's one pillow, there's one cover, goes to him. There's a little bit of food, it goes to him. So this is not an abusive avdus, but ideally, should a person strive to be an Eved? Certainly not. You know, maybe that could be part of the hidden. It's not so clear. Now, the Yovel is Shifra Avadim, we discussed, no? Ukrasim Dror Ba'aretz, L'chol Yosheh, L'chol Yosheh. Why is that Dror L'chol Yosheh? No? Why is it exactly L'chol Yosheh? No? Like, you know, how many people are Avadim? I tell you, like a tiny fraction of, like a fraction of 1%. How many people are avadim? You know, how many avadim vivim do you have running around? No, it's a tiny. So good, Yovel, the Navi Divri is freed. So okay, so what exactly? That's Dror L'chol Yosheh. Why exactly is that considered to be Dror L'chol Yosheh? So many possibilities. Maybe Dror is not only a reference to Abdus, it's a reference to Karka, Chozer Balehem. We discussed that, no? Maybe it's a reference to Isravodas HaKarka, so a person is now free too. But if your understanding, as Rashi says, that Dror is Avdus, why is that the L'chol Yosheh? So maybe that's part of this intent. That, you know what, that Avdus isn't a reality, but it's an unfortunate reality. It's an indication that something in society has not quite. In a truly, let's say, altruistic, generous, selfless society, maybe you wouldn't have the institution of inevitability. You wouldn't have kiyom chachichim. And therefore recognize that freeing all the avadim and having a society of every Jew who's a ben chorim, that's chayrus lakol. It's not just chayrus for that tiny, tiny group of, but maybe it's something that is much more broadly impactful. But the Torah does recognize at the parsha of Amdus. But maybe that's the connection, the link of the different parshias of that of Yisrael and Mishpatim. You know, this also, this Machlokas Rashi and the Ramban will tell you connects to Shavuos in terms of the sequence of the parshios in the following sense. When I was just speaking to the Talmidim yesterday in the post Pesach, I mentioned the Gemara Brachos Nav Samaches, where the Gemara quotes a Stirim Psukim, that how is it that a person celebrates Yantif? Is that Tzeres Lashem Elokecha, is it Tzeres Tiyalachem? How do you do so? Lashem Elokecha. So is the way to celebrate Torah Tefillah, is the way to celebrate Suda, physical celebration. So you have two psukim. You know what's surprising? There's no kasev hashlishi. No? That's one of the midos of the Torah, no? When you have shnei k'smachishim zezeh, you have a kasev hashlishi. So you know what the kasev hashlishi does? It tells you, under this circumstance, this. Under that circumstance, that. Ooh, so I'll throw out a basic shayla, no? What if there is no kasev hashlishi? What if there is no kasev hashlishi? The Torah says, yantif lashem, yantif lachem. And there's no pasuk to say, so what do you do? What do you do? Ooh, so maybe that's like the background. Maybe that's the fundamental machlokas, Pesachim Samaches. You know what Rabbi Yeshua says? Chalkeihu. If there's no kasev hashlishi to tell us that, oh, this is what you should do here, and this is what you should do there, you know what the answer is? Both. Both. That's pretty heavy. No, both. In other words, chatzil Hashem, chatzil Hashem. Both are necessary. Both are necessary. What's the other option? That's the position of Rabbi Eliezer. If the Torah gives you two choices, and the Torah doesn't demand that under this circumstance this, and under that circumstance that, so you know what? Oh, there are options. O kulachem. Not both, but either or. That way, pretty fundamental, no? When you don't have a kasev hashlishi to tell us here and there, so what's the takeaway? So Rabbi Yeshua says the takeaway is you have to do both. And that's our psak, l'chas l'shem, l'chas l'chem. The Rambam writes this not only regarding Yantif, the Rambam writes this even on Shabbos. Chas l'shem, chas l'chem. The Rambam gives you like a whole Seder Hayom in Perek Lamed of Hilchos Tefillah. Now they post the Shabbos schedule. So what's the Shabbos schedule? Right. Davening and eating. No? Yeah, that's what the Rambam writes. Eichetesi. Just say. You know, the Rambam writes this. Davin, and then have a Suda. Davin, and then have a Suda. Davin, and have a Suda. Yes. Rosh Leishik said a Chiddush, no? Chas l'shem, chas l'chem. There's a Seder. It's like the Chatzi l'shem is matya the Chatzi l'chem. So you've engaged in the Tefillah, Halayla, now you can have a Suda Halayla. You had the Suda Saboker, only after the Tula Saboker. And that's why the Ramah writes, Uresh Tani Aleph, that Shalashura should follow Tfilas Mincha. It's Ramah, no? Shalashura should follow Tfilas Mincha. You know, maybe a little tricky this coming Shabbos, no? You have to have Shalashuras. But, Shalashura shouldn't be so late in the day, because it's Yantiv, no? It's Yantiv. So you know what? Try not to be Kovei Suda. Samoch L'mincha Ketana. No, so have an early Suda, an early Suda. So the Ramah quotes the two deos, no? Shalosh Shudas definitely should be during the Zman Mincha. And one day Ramah should be after Tfilas Mincha. After Tfilas Mincha. Interesting issue. We were just discussing the yeshiva schedule, no, for, no. For Shabbos, no, just in terms of, you know, to have, probably won't be after Mincha, but after the Zman Mincha, right, that day in Ramah. But what's the Kpeda of Bedavke after Mincha? Rastavichik is made with this Rambam. Rechazda Hashem Chatzil Lachem. Rastavichik in the Siddur for the Chiddush. When you look in the Siddur HaGra and Maaseh Rav, there are the Gon quotes the Ravan that you shouldn't have Kiddush and the Suda Shabbos until after you daven Maariv on Friday night. That's the Ravan. I've heard of a few yeshivas that don't follow this Ravan. You know, let's say, maybe it's not such a bad idea. You know, ideally you want to daven Bizman. But davening Bizman, you know, it could be pretty late, no? On Friday night. No? Pretty late on Friday night. So I'll tell you the idea for, let's say, my shul, but you're going to tell me it's not going to work. Let everybody come to shul. Daven Mincha and Kabbalah Shabbos. Let everybody go home and have their Suda. And let everybody come back. Yeah, for Maariv is at 9:30. Right? Ah, you're not supposed to be Kabbalah Suda before Maariv? No, if you're Maskel Beheter, that's okay. So we're going to be Maskel Beheter. We'll daven early enough. That's one of the problems with these 7 o'clock minyanims on Friday night. Number one is, for 80% of the time they daven, it's a tartar disaster. Right? You end up davening Mincha and Maariv in the same window, after Plag, before Shkia. You know? Number two is that if you're davening at 7 o'clock, by the time you finish davening, and by the time you shmooze, and by the time you come home, by the time you get started, it's already going to be pretty close to, right, within a half hour, very often it says, by the time you get home and, you know? And there already, ideally, you shouldn't start a Suda when you have a mitzvah like Kriya Shema to fulfill. If it's maschel beheter, let's say you split plag. So by the time you come home, it's very early. No? So that's called maschel beheter. But let's say you're diving typically, let's say, 7 o'clock. So in such a case, number one is the tartar disaster. Number two, by the time you come home, it's already pretty close to when you could Kriya Shema. So that's the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Lamed Ches. So wait. If you're going to wait, you may as well daven late. You know, if you daven early and wait. You know, like, it's important. Now, sometimes small shifts can make a big difference. You know, and somebody who shows it down at 7 o'clock, that's early minyan. No? If they would shift it to 6:45, they would split plag 80% of the time. 7 o'clock, you're not going to split plag. No? And I'll tell you a similar adjustment. Some shuls, they call shacharis for like 9 o'clock in the morning. Like 9 o'clock in the afternoon. Not like, 9 in the afternoon, you're done with shacharis. They're going to miss man kriya shema like 80% of the year. 80% of the year, they can miss man kriya shema. If they were just out of 8:45, they would make man kriya shema 80% of the year. You know? They're not going to make 100% of the year. 100% of the year, you have to start early sometimes. You have to start 8:15, 8:20, okay, but 80% of the year, you know? Sometimes, like a little bit, you know, like a little shifts can make a huge difference. Sometimes people think, why make Zman Kriya Shema? You have to start at 8. Or you want to avoid a tart to disaster, you have to daven at 6. You know, no. Sometimes just a little adjustments can make huge differences. It's a hashkafa, it's a musraska, you know, like that. Sometimes, you know, you just position yourself a little bit differently, and all of a sudden, you know, experience a windfall. But, so you know what, we'll daven early, because the Baal Batra are going to complain that, you know, I'm davening late by the time you get home, it's so late. You know, so no problem. Don't go on Shabbos, but then come back to shul. Come back to shul. Okay, it's risky, you know. Probably in my shul they'd come back. You know, I think I hide them. I think they would come back. I think they'd come back. But, and the shul, we experienced like a sudden patira of a couple of members of the shul. So I got up and I told them, you know, you have to have a Seder Shabbos morning for 45 minutes before davening. So the shul is really crowded, you know, like davening's 8:30. You know, these past weeks was my creation, it's 8:25. And everybody's in the shul 45 minutes before davening starts learning. Like it's pretty impressive, pretty impressive like that, you know. But so like there's, you know, like, and what about yeshivas? That would be an easy eitzah, no? An easy eitzah. But, you know, Saddam and Chadavan Kabbalah Shabbos, just go upstairs and have the suit. And then just come downstairs. Come downstairs. Now, admittedly, sometimes we find that to be a challenge. You know, like, I'm not sure why. Shacharis, I understand there's a little bit of Yetzer Hara, but what's the Yetzer Hara after Shir, like not to come down Mincha? Now, like, you have to go straight out, not turn the corner and come to the Sunnish. You know, that's a little bit of a fella. Huh? You know, sometimes you see Mincha's over, like, and Shir's over, they just don't make the turn, they just go straight out the door. You know, so, but you see, if the demand is just come downstairs, you know, okay, so maybe that's a great eitzah. Some yeshivas actually do this. Vodav Mara Bizman after the Suda Shabbos. Is there anything wrong with that? Someone's person asked me, I said, yeah, the Gona Maisarav quotes the Ravan not to do that. Not to do that. It says in the bottom of the Siddur Hagra, they're not sure what the source of this is, why this should be true. So Sveishik explained, why is it true? Because the Chatzim Hashem, Chatzim Lachem. That's why it's true, no? Because the Rambam writes that before you sit down too, you know, you have to take care of, you know, the Avodas Hashem. So, Davin, then Suda. Davin, then Suda. It's like the Gemara says that you wake up in the morning, Davin, no? Asa lodom lachos chafetza kodom shispan. Now you wake up in the morning, you know, but before you start taking care of your own things, you have to Davin. You Davin, you satisfy that. Osi shlachach regayach, the Gemara says. After you're satisfied, you know, then you decide to daven. No, so don't eat before davening. Don't do other things before davening. Rosh Hashanah discusses, is it so obvious you can shower before davening? Ooh, you know, like cultural, no? Like showering, you know? Who says you can shower before davening? You know? So the Baal Batim asked me about shaving and getting their haircuts. I'm like, before davening. I'm like, one has to be very careful what you do before davening. Now, like the Gemara says, don't take care of your own, you know, self. You have to make sure that sequence is preserved. You know, you're going to work out in the gym, then you're going to go daven. You're going to take your, you know, jog and then go daven. You know, also shlafeh regeich. You know, like first things first. There's certain things that the Gemara says you have to do. The Rambam writes, eating before davening. The Rambam implies it's nissa daraisa. The Rambam is sefer mitzvot and shorish tes. Because when the Rambam quotes, Lav shebechlalos, the soul chladam, that includes in the surim, eating before davening. That's pretty like stunning. You know, like, first take care of. So maybe that's part of the chas l'shem chas l'chem. It's an interesting possibility. And Rabbi Eliezer says that no. Options. And look, and once you have a choice, you don't have a choice. Now, if you have a choice, an yantif of l'shem or l'chem, so obviously l'shem, no? So that was Rabbi Eliezer. How many times did I quote that Gemara? No, Beit Sedat Tesvav, no? But Rabbi Eliezer giving shir all day, and the Talmidim, like, who, you know, like, sneaking out, no? Like, that was Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara says something stunning, that Rabbi Eliezer did not do this on Shavuos. That very Gemara, Psachim Samaches. Every Yantif, shir. Shavuos. No, hakol modem batzeres divina melachem. That's what Rabbi Lazar says. Rabbi Eliezer said okul l'shem kol asem. And now Amar Rabbi Lazar, hakol modem batzeres divina melachem. Shavuos you have to stop. Shavuos. Why in Shavuos you have to stop? What's wrong with Talmud Torah? No, so the Gemara says unbelievable. No, because Shavuos is yom shenitna bo Torah b'Yisrael. Shavuos is man matan Torah seina. Yeah, so therefore what? So therefore, like, stay up all night and learn. No? So therefore what? Therefore, break? Every other yantif not, and here you do. But that's the Gemara. No, hakom modim v'atzera signam lachem. Shuas, you have to break. Shuas, you have to have a suda. So on what basis? On what basis? So, Parshav Shad, I will tell you, ooh, the Shitase. The Ramban, in the Parshas Mishpatim, comments on the Pasuk of Vayechazu es Elokim v'yochlu v'yishtu. Bnei Yisrael received the Torah of Hashem. They ate and they drank. They ate. Is that a gnai or is that a shvach? Well, Rashi writes it's a criticism. It's a criticism. Right? Leiv gas. Kabbalah Satoran, you're seeing they're like eating and drinking. You know? Like, why is that appropriate? And the Ramban quotes a Midrash Rab in Shirashim. And guess what? The Bala Memra is Rabbi Lazar. Am Rabbi Lazar, Mikan Shostin Mishta Lagomer Shaltarah. Mikan Shostin Mishta Lagomer Shaltarah. Wow, but you know what? You have to celebrate. You have to celebrate Kabbalah Satar. And celebrating Kabbalah Satar is not only Minei Sekhbat or Rabin Zasuda Sada. And that's part of the key of the Sudan Shuas. Sudas Hoda for Kabbalah Satar. And that's why Rabbi Eliezer would bedafka stop. I'll tell you the Lishitase. This I saw, the Sefer came out, Mishulchan, Eliyahu Baruch Finkel. He writes this Lishitase. I just mentioned the Rashi and Ramban, Vechselokim. No? So Rashi writes Lignai, the Ramban writes no, Suda Soda, right? We started with the Rashi and Ramban. Shmos and Rishpatim? Whoa, they write Lishitase. Lishitase. That's pretty fascinating. That's pretty fascinating. See, Lishitase in the following sense. Ooh, this pasuk is Mishpatim. Rashi assumes that this was first, before the Maamar HaSinai and Kabbalah Satara. So when did this take place? V'yochlu v'yishtu. According to Rashi, this did not take place after Kabbalah Satara. This took place like in the middle of these events, no? The Hachana for Kabbalah Satara. Bnei Yisrael is awaiting Aseres the Maamar HaSinai. And you know what? They're partying. They're partying. Why is that appropriate? Why is that appropriate? You should kind of be, you know, why is that appropriate? What's the sequence according to Ramban and Mukhtar Merchava Torah? Yisro Mishvati, which means that Vayechus Elokim Yochel Yishtu was the aftermath of Kabbalah Sator. It was the response to Kabbalah Sator. Suda Sada, the response. Mikan Shosim Mishta Lagomer Shotor. That fits in with the Ramban sequence, no? That this was the response to, you receive the Torah Hashem, you celebrate. Right? You're about to receive the Torah Hashem, you start eating and drinking, you start partying. It's not surprising that given Rashi's sequence, Rashi says that was a criticism of Klal Yisrael. And given the Ramban sequence, that this was the praise of Knesset Yisrael, because this was a Suda Soda, having received the Torah Hashem. That's pretty powerful. But hakom modim atzeres dignam lachem. There's an unbelievable shiltos, the shiltos in Samach Zayin, where the shiltos deals with the issue, why is one of the mitzvahs ayom of Purim a sudas Purim? And you don't find that shu when it comes to Hanukkah. People have Hanukkah parties, but you wouldn't say it's like part of the mitzvah sayom. But you may mishta v'simcha as part of the mitzvah sayom of Purim. Why the difference? What's classically quoted, well, beautiful, the levush, that our celebration, our commemoration reflects the challenge. The challenge of Hanukkah was assimilation, acculturation, yavanim, misyavnim. So we celebrate by Hallel, Hadlakas Aneiros. The challenge of Purim was physical annihilation, Mahashmi, Laro, Gulabe. So we celebrate with Mishteh V'Simcha. You know, that beautiful comment to Lavush. The Shiltos, unbelievable, unbelievable. Shiltos just writes very, very briefly. You know why part of the mitzvah Yom Purim is Sudas Purim? Because Kima v'Kibla. Purim was the time of Kabbalah Sator. Hadar kibluhu b'meach HaShemesh. And Kabbalah Sator demands a Sudas Hadar. That's what Bnei Yisrael did at Maimon Har Sinai. That's what we're obligated to do in Shavuos, a Sudas Hadar for Kabbalah Sator. And that's why you have a Sudas Purim. It wasn't because of the Nes of Purim, it was because of the Kabbalah Sator of Purim. A Nes? Kriya Samagillah, Anchanak, Ahalel. Suda is triggered by Mishtah, the Kansar Shemishtah, the Gomer Shatar. But Marsha writes, the Minag, a person will have Achil and Shtiyah at a seam of Masechta. No? Because Mikansar Shemishtah, Gomer Shatar. Maybe that's one of the reasons that there's a Suda's Bar Mitzvah. No? Kabbalah Sator meant that we became obligated in. So when the Bachar Mitzvah becomes obligated in, the response is with that sense of a Suda. If you look in the Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Taf Lamed, Sefer HaChinuch raises the following kasha, that it's very rare to have a bracha daraisa. Taf Lamed is Birchas HaMazon. Sefer HaChinuch is Birchas HaMazon. And is there any other example of a bracha daraisa? Sefer HaChinuch writes, yes, Birchas HaTor. Birchas HaTor. The Gemara Brachos, Chaf Aleph Mar Aleph, compares Birchas HaMazon to Birchas HaTor. The Ramban writes, they're both daraisa, and they're both hoda. So the Sefer HaChinuch is bothered by the following, that... why is it that the Birchas Hoda of Birchas HaMazon is La'achar HaAchila, and the Birchas Hoda on Kabbalah Sator is Kodem HaLimud? Kodem HaLimud. Is it over La'asiyasan, or is it Achar HaAsiyasan? So the Sefer HaChinuch writes, I would just elaborate, but the Sefer HaChinuch writes the following. There's a fundamental difference between that hodah for that which is physical, gashmius, and hodah for ruchnius. When it comes to hodah for the gashmius, that's lachar achila. But not true when it comes to the hodah for at the Torah Hashem. That should be immediate. How do you wait? I would express it as follows. You know, if I were to ask you, when it comes to Birchas HaMazon, right, what exactly is the mechayiv of Birchas HaMazon? What are you thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for? Are you thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Maisa Achila? Or are you thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Hanas HaSviya? The Hanas HaSviya. Uvachalta v'savata. What exactly do you thank Kadosh Baruch Hu for? You know, I would argue that the thanks when it comes to Achila is not for the act of eating. The act of eating? The act of eating per se. I would say, you know why eating is important? Because of the effect of eating. Well, it's impactful. It's impactful. Eating nourishes, eating sustains, eating strengthens. It's not like the act of eating, but the maisa achila, the maisa achila. You know, if you're dealing with achila smatzu, the maisa achila, the maisa achila. Typically, when you're dealing with, let's say, achila, the hoda is HaKadosh Baruch Hu has provided me with, and therefore I can. I think that's clear. That's clear, no? Right, it's that eating is an end in and of itself. Maybe in certain circles, right? But you would say that's not the best hashkafa, no? You eat for the sake of eating, no? Right, is that really, mechaber? Of course not. Right? One's mindset during achilah should be, ooh, you know, in order to. I'll tell you an unbelievable suffix, Rabbi Kviger. Rabbi Kviger leaves us at Sarachi and Ladina. You know? Let's assume, for example, you have this katan who's about to experience his bar mitzvah. Tonight's his bar mitzvah. He eats right now. He ate as a katan. Did he bench? Of course he benched, no? But he continues to be soveya as a gadol. Vikveger writes, he should have to bench again. Because he ate as a katan, and he benched as a katan. Yeah, but now, midaraisa, he's soveya as a gadol. So, he's chayv birchas hamazon. Like, unbelievable, no? Unbelievable. A bachur bar mitzvah, who now, he begins his bar mitzvah, he's soveya because he ate a half hour ago, should bench again. Pretty striking, no? Rabbi Kviger writes this about aninos. A person eats before the kvura, and now there's a kvura. He's soveya la'achra kvura, now he's chayv mitzvos. So he should bench. But he ate when he was potter min mitzvos. Yeah, but who says that, the Chazon Ish even raises the following suffix, that a person should ideally bench in his makam achila. No? Like, why exactly is that true? Why exactly is that true? Is that like just me dinei hefsek? We have dinei hefsek b'chola Torah kula, no? Don't do this here and that there. You're going to make kiddush here and have your suda there. No. Or is it more than that? Does that indicate that the Berachas HaMazon is on the Ma'aseh Achila? So good, I'm soveya here, but what? Maybe that's not enough. Maybe you should bench there. There is where you ate. Like an interesting issue. So I would tell you that undeniably, when it comes to Achila, it's not the Ma'aseh Achila in and of itself. It's what the achila provides. No? And what about when it comes to Esek Batonah? That would tell you that's a stunning difference. No? Is Esek Batonah transformative? Absolutely yes. Does Esek Batonah sustain? Absolutely yes. Does Esek Batonah nourish? 100%. No? But there's a marked difference. No? When it comes to achila, it's not eating for the sake of eating, no? It is purely directed toward the effect, the impact of. And what about when it comes to Esek Batonah? Certainly not. It's true that Esek Batonah is transformative, it's impactful, it's sustaining, but the act of Esek Batonah, no? That is of infinite value. That's not true of Achila. That's true of Esek Batonah. That's like Rechaim Elozner's Torah Lishma. No? It's the Esek Batonah for the sake of the Esek Batonah. No? Not because, you know, it's impactful. Of course it's impactful. You're going to be able to be, right, more meticulous about Dinei Shabbos, if you know Dinei Shabbos. But the reason for learning Dinei Shabbos is not just simply because of, but it's the act of. So that I would tell you that it makes perfect sense that the hodah of achila should be on the hanos asfiyah. Even if you need a mais achila, right? If a person is sove without a mais achila, give a whole shiur, no? Now, a person, let's say, never ate a kazayis tokid achilas pras, right? But he's absolutely stuffed. No? That can happen very often, no? You're sitting there at your Shabbos Suda. Maybe you never ate a kazayis tolkin achilas pras. That's a problem. No? But can one argue that, but you're chayv in berachas hamazon daraisa, v'achalta v'savata. Where does that require, you know, there are three days in Rishon and Achronim. Maybe a possibility that, you don't require achila tolkin achilas pras if you're soveya. Wow. Maybe the other extreme, that you absolutely do require Sviya Betoken Achilas Pras? Or I'll tell you a midshita, a midshita. You know what the midshita is? You need a kazayis tochke achilas pras, but the sviya does not have to be tochke achilas pras, and you're having berachas mazon daraisa. V'achalta, v'achalta means you have to have a kazayis tochke achilas pras, but sviya tochke achilas pras. Let's say, what is the shir of achilas pras? Well, let's take like a midshir, 4 minutes. No? The Chumra, we go 2 minutes, 10 minutes, no? On Yom Kippur, if you're eating on Yom Kippur, I'm going to tell you space it 10 minutes, right? At the Seder, I'm going to say don't space it 10 minutes. And I eat the kazayis really, really quick. If you'd kind of really push me to say, like, what's probably like Tolkien Achilles Pras reasonably, I'd probably say like 4 minutes. 4 minutes. But we'll be machmer on different ends, right? The Chumra Lakula. Ooh, that was impactful. So you're going to be sovei in 4 minutes. You're going to the shir of birchas on tolken achilas pras for what? For svia. Okay, maybe, but you'd really have to stuff, you know. You have to like this the eating contest, no? Like go, you know, and like in a couple minutes you're really going to be full. Yeah, you're only chayiv in birchas hamazon if that's true. Otherwise, no, drabanan. Yeah, that'll be surprising, no? Surprising. In fact, Mishnah Berurah paskens that you have to have a kazayis toke. That's important, no? You're sitting at the Shabbos to make a motzi. Eat a kazayis toke achilas pras. Just don't take a little bite, and then a couple minutes later, take another bite, and a couple minutes another bite, no? Like at the Seder, you're going to kazayis toke achilas pras. So what about every Suda? What about every Suda? Today? Shabbos? No? Today? Like a kazayis toke achilas pras. But Mishnah Berurah is a chiddush svia doesn't have to be talking achilas pras. Like interesting chiddushin in terms of what exactly is the shir. Three days. So you know it's an interesting deal. Minchas chinuch shin yud gimel. You know, if a person is fully soveya without even eating, he never ate anything talking achilas pras, but he's fully soveya. Or let's say the flip side, Yom Kippur. Person is really fully soveya. So he's full, not only fasting. It's interesting, there we do require that the kosevis has to be tolke achilas pras. You know, it's an interesting deal. What is the time window of yisuvei das? The time window of svia? You know, it's an important issue. The time window of the mitzvah of achilas matzahs, kosei tolke achilas pras. That's like a fascinating deal when it comes to. So yeah, one could still argue that you need a maisa achila. That's the pasuk ve'achalta. But it's not the act of eating. It's the hanas hasviya. And therefore, the hanas hasviya is lachar achila. That's what you bench then. But maybe not true when it comes to the cases of esek v'tar. They say a story regarding Rabbi Moshe Naivsitz that he used to recite Birchas HaShachar. Now, people used to like listen to him eavesdrop, you know. So, Asher Nasna Sechivina, you know, he recited, you know. And all of a sudden, he didn't recite the bracha of Shlosh Anigoy. You know, they were kind of pretty surprised that why? I mean, it's a Gemara, you know, like why is he? We're in different places, no. The regular Birchas Shachas and Brachas of Samach, but the Rambam Nachas says the bracha. So, like, why was he not doing? Why not doing so? So someone like got up the guts to ask him, like, why are you skipping this bracha? You know? So, you know, don't express it the wrong way, but he said the following, you know, that bracha, I'm like, I'm Kedushas Yisrael, but I'm going to wait until I come to davening. You know, I'm going to wait until I come to davening. You know, as soon as he would get up in the morning. You're going to wait and recite Berachas HaTorah when you come to shul. You know, the Gon writes, you can't be Maharar Mitzvah Torah without Birchas HaTorah, no? So that's a challenge, no? Like, how do you get up in the morning? For some people, that's a challenge, right? Because getting up means, how do you, like, you know, how do you navigate those minutes until you recite, like, a Birchas HaTorah? The answer is, you skaber kari. As soon as you jump out, you know, because you're going to sit and think about Shir without reciting Birchas HaTorah, like, the Gon writes, that's a challenge, no? So Rav Yonah Schneibschitz, in the sense that, you know, like, That bracha, he didn't wait till he got to shul. The bracha on Kedushas Yisrael. Didn't mean it in a demeaning way. He meant it in a very reverential way. That, you know, you have to revere the privilege of having a Kedushas Yisrael. So you're going to wait for that. You're going to wait for that. You know, you're going to get up and drive to shul and everything. And then you'll make that way to that bracha. You're going to say Berachas HaTorah the moment you get up. You know, he felt that way about this bracha as well. You know, like us other brachos, thank God, Baruch Hu, for your clothing and for your shoes. Okay, you know, maybe that doesn't have the immediacy that, but Kedushas Yisrael is something you used to recite front and center. That I would tell you is certainly true when it comes to the Esek Patar. So both Birchas Hodah, but demonstrably different, you know, in terms of the as opposed to the Esek Patar itself. Well, it's important to just bear these concepts in mind at the time of the Antif of Shavuos, the privilege that we have to be able to reenact, to be able to re-experience that b'chol yom v'yom yimnecha kechadashim. Something that never, not for a second, should be taken for granted. The schus of the avdus, of being an Eved Hashem, but the recognition, right, as Rashi writes, that Kederach HaOsim Me'ahava. Okay, so Rashi Hashem will see get together after Kabbalah Satorah. Okay.